AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences and talk about all things EVs and technology. We have Chase. I'm Eric. Unfortunately, Will's not with us right now. Hopefully, he can jump in at some point. But wanted to just kind of, I think we got a bunch of stuff that's kind of happened, some exciting stuff, another few accidents and issues with the Cybertrucks out there. I feel like this week was a big week for a lot of wraps. I know we were talking before we started. There's like five or six wraps that were wrap of the week candidates, but we
Summer's
were able
off.
To. Yeah,
it's getting into it.
Yeah, everybody's wrapping their trucks and doing some really cool and fun things. We have Hugo and Jay in chat. So hey guys, thank you for coming back every week. We appreciate you. Let's get into, well, I know you wanted to talk about, did you want to start with the Cybertruck Rivian off-roading thing? Okay. So, yeah, so this week, a video came out. Let's go ahead and pull that up real quick.
Yeah, it's the most exciting thing I had from yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday, right? There we go. So, yeah, this is a video of a guy that got together and put together a video with a Raptor, a Rivian R1T, and a Cybertruck. But you were especially excited for one particular reason.
Yeah, because so this is from Mountain Pass Performance. Just shout out. They did a phenomenal video. You should go definitely check it out on YouTube, where they basically they had their own private track that they ran all three, the Cybertruck, the Rivian R1T, and the Raptor R, all through this like, not like a crazy track, but it's this guy's like back home backyard kind of like, hey, this is a fun track that happens to have like a jump and some whips to go through. Mm-hmm. So some really kind of like cool kind of just cool things to like put it through the test. But the most exciting thing that caught my eye, and I did like comment in the section and make sure to confirm this, but this truck that they've got is actually the dual motor version of the truck. So it's both what myself and Erica had, but it's not the Cyber Beast. So
yeah.
The fact is TLDW, I guess TL, you know, too long didn't watch, the Cyber Truck beat out both the R1T and the Raptor R in the end, even as the dual motor, not even the Cyber Beast.
Yep.
So I think that's the most exciting thing about this, because I see all these videos of like the Cybertruck going off road and doing like all these really cool things, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, what if it's the Cyber Beast? What if it's like not what I have? But
yeah.
Like when it's what I have as like the middle ground, then I'm really excited, because I'm like, okay, my truck has this capability. So it's super exciting.
Let me ask you a question, just because you touched on that. Do you, because I'll be the first to say that I kind of do. Do you get a little, I don't know if this is the right word, but do you get a little insecure with the fact that you don't have the beast? Like when people ask you, they go, oh, is this the beast? And you're kind of like, oh, no, this is just the all-wheel drive.
Yeah, I mean, only because I've ridden in a Cyber Beast and have had someone else like launch me in a Cyber Beast, so I've felt the difference between the 600 versus the 850 horsepower.
Yeah,
but it's also like it is noticeable, but it's also to the average driver, who has like 200 to 300 horsepower in their most ICE vehicle. It's all the same. So, like, most people won't see a difference. They're just going to be like, holy shit, I'm just, like, going to 0 to 60 and, like, whoa. And they're just there. But for us, I think there is a significant difference between the dual motor and the tri, just because we're used to it. Like it's much faster, and it's just stupid fast. There's nothing else to say about it. It's just stupid fast.
I haven't had the pleasure of riding around in a beast, so I haven't experienced that speed. You know, I've been in a plaid, which is, you know, it's faster than a beast, but it's there, right? It's close enough. So I can't even imagine how crazy that must feel, especially. And you didn't drive a beast, right? You just had somebody launch you in it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
which I will say, like, it is a significant difference between, like, a model, like, just a base Model 3, even. Like, there is, like, a significant jump with the Cybertruck. It's not as fast as, like, obviously the Plaid and all that, but it is, like, it is a jump. Like, if it, kind of the perspective I'm kind of, like, painting is that the truck buyer going from ICE truck to Cybertruck is going to have a phenomenal experience, even with the dual motor versus the Cyber Beast. Yeah. Both are going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and but I do agree, going back to the original, the video that we were talking about, I do agree that there are times where I'm looking at content online, I'm looking at different things, and when it's performance-based, and if it's the Beast, for us, we go, oh man, you know, I wish it was the all-wheel drive, because that's, we want to know the specs and the performance for our truck, not necessarily the top of the line truck, because we unfortunately don't have that one. But so that, I think that was a great video and something that, everybody should go check out, especially if they're interested in off-roading.
Which is a great segue, because the one other thing I want to insert is that I had no idea, but apparently this is a thing, that there is a actually physical difference between the Cyber Beast and the dual motor versions of the truck.
What do you mean?
I don't have like a visual queued up, but I can pull it up. But the front dash on what we have is actually different in the Cyber Beast versus the dual motor. I had no idea that until literally today.
Yes.
I thought it was all the same.
No, it has the Alcantara.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, dash. Yeah, and we get the... What is ours, anyways?
It's
what
like
is
a faux leather, or whatever. Yeah, it's basically the same material that they put on the seats.
Okay, so yeah, that's and I think ours is nice, but yeah, the Alcantara, that's.
Definitely something to consider. Like if you're watching a video that's up on YouTube, and
say it's easy way to
for
know.
Instance, the truck is wrapped, and you don't actually see the emblem on the back of a Cyber Beast. If you look at the front dash, you can then verify that yes, this is either an all-wheel drive, dual motor, or a Cyber Beast. So,
yep, that's the way to identify it for sure. Other than that, that's only a difference, right? Physical
Correct.
Difference.
And I was trying to think of it, like, why would you only swap the dash outside of just creating, like what we said, a visual difference that's probably not going to be customized that you could then verify, be like, okay, this is a Beast, this is not.
Yeah,
because otherwise, if you think about it, the majority of these Cybertrucks are getting wrapped, so the majority of those Cyber Beast logos on the back are getting covered up. So it's fairly easy to scam somebody.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a lot of people enlarge the Beasts on the back, and they're just putting it on the whole like tailgate. I'm starting to see a lot of that lately. So, which I think that looks pretty cool too.
Yeah, totally.
Really, that's really like, hey, mine is a beast, you know? <It's>, but speaking of interiors, wanted to share something about the tactical gray.
Yes.
So it looks like they are delivering tactical gray interiors on the Cybertrucks. So Gregor Truck here posted a picture that a customer, I guess, sent him. I'm not sure if it says right here, thank you, Caleb. I'm not sure if it's Caleb's Cybertruck or, you know, he happened to see this at a delivery center.
Needs to do a DM.
Yeah. But also I have over here some more pictures of someone who actually took delivery of their Cybertruck And
with
they
grid?
Show, yeah, and they okay, show cool. you here with the.
So they are actually like putting them out in the wild. Because the other yep. thing I've been noticing in a lot of the Facebook groups is that people have been getting responses from Tesla saying, "Hey, you were looking for gray, but if you want to switch to white, we can get it to you right now."
Yeah, you don't have to.
Otherwise, you're going to have to wait. So yeah. I think that's very interesting. Is like, but in all honesty, if you like focus on that, I don't like gray.
No,
I think it looks like a muted white, and it doesn't look good. Like, I think they should have just went with like straight black, honestly.
Oh, there's the Alcantara.
Oh, the Alcantara. There you go.
There you go. That's the Cyber
Beast only.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I'm not really fond of the tactical gray.
Yeah.
The gray, it has more to do with the shade of gray that they chose.
Yeah.
I would have much preferred, I think what you were saying, is just match the, I guess, black of the top portion.
That's cool.
Of the trim, and just kind of have that go all the way down. I think that would have been a better move.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
The only, if it played devil's advocate, the only thing I think of is that someone inside was like, well, maybe the black interior is going to be more popular because a lot of people seem to like enjoy it. So maybe, I don't know, they just wanted to like shorten the options available.
Yeah.
Because the other possibly. Question is, like, what is going to be the default for the non-foundation? Is it going to be this tactical gray, or?
Well, I mean, based on what my impression going into this was, the white is premium,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the premium interior. So then, if they're offering the gray, I think it's safe to say the gray is going to be just the standard.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my assumption, but obviously we won't know until we know.
They just don't have any more shitty like interior options, which is, I guess, a good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because typically it's like, oh, you go to like the carpet or whatever, like automotive interior.
I also noticed there was a small, this is a small little thing, but I thought it was interesting. This guy mentions,
yeah, this is great.
Yeah. This guy mentions that you can kind of trick the truck into allowing you to use, the tailgate button as your on off switch for your, bed lights.
I don't think this is even tricking yet. I think this is probably part of how it works. There's just nobody caught on to it until, what, 5 months later?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe tricking isn't the right word. It's just, it's one of those things where if, I don't have the sound up right here, but if you have the sound, you can hear it unlatching. But the tailgate's down, so it's not releasing it. So it just, but yeah, it's a cool, because there's been times where I've wanted to show the bed lights to people, mm-hmm. and right. I'm like, how do I do this? How do I turn these on? Well, now I know.
To the front, to the UI, and then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can just go back there, and tailgate's open, tonneau's open, and I can just press the tailgate button, and it's going to turn them on and off.
Yeah. Which I just should, because like, even with my F-150 that I had bed lights, and there was a specific button just to, all right, hit on the bed lights, and here you go.
Yeah.
So it should be that way.
So I just thought that was cool. I wanted to share that because, you know, that's the point of the podcast, right? Is to show everybody and share our experiences, but also things that we hear and see online and through word of mouth. Unfortunately, there is another Cybertruck that got into a little bit of trouble and needed and is heading out to auction. So this is another Cybertruck that, it was a rollover, pretty beat up.
I really want to know, like, I just want to be a
like
fly
how
and just see how
how
this happened, and then the what, because I think feel like that would give either that would give like the biggest marketing ploy that Tesla could ever want, or vice versa. You know,
because
it looks like everything's pretty well intact, like outside of the front portion. Even the doors are completely still intact. Obviously side walls, top is all busted, if that makes sense.
And
I assume the drivers were fine.
It doesn't mention anything about the passengers or driver, but yeah, it's pretty beat up as far as, like, you know, this thing went through something, right? But considering knowing that it went through something, it's like, I don't want to say it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because it's pretty bad, but I think it kind of held up a little bit.
I would assume. Yeah. Especially
and
for that
it's a beast.
That front zone with the, if you go back probably up a little bit, that front zone with the window, that would be like the biggest like crumple zone that I can think of. It would be the like not design efficient for impact, but it seems like it's doing really well. So that's great to see.
Yeah.
Because it's really just like the side pillars and then the glass.
Yeah. I guess that's what I was kind of alluding to, is just you were able to say it much better than me. That it just, it really, the glass is really what shows how bad it was, but the body, I mean, it's bad, but it's like, wow, you know, it really does kind of hold up.
The fact that it's armored glass is not meaning that, like, I'm sure the passengers have still like showered with like glass shards, but still it's probably not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah.
It's like, especially if you see if like that front glass plane just like shatters, it's just like my brother was in an accident like that where he tried to parallel park a Firebird underneath a semi going 50 miles an hour.
Oh, geez.
It didn't work out. The thing was that like he survived, but also like the glass was just like speckled. Like his hat, his hair, his like body was covered in just like speckles of glass. So like that's just never a good spot to be in, especially if you're in your like a life saving situation where you need to like, you know, do things. That's not a good thing. So it's props to Tesla for having something that's so saved. Once again.
Yeah. But speaking of the armored glass, let's hold off on giving Tesla too many props. We have a gentleman here that has camera, and I wish he would have posted the video, and somehow maybe he doesn't have the editing software or whatnot, but I wish he would have posted the video just kind of showing even in a quicker speed, faster speed. But you can see here at 11:38 a.m., his glass is perfect. Then you go to the next photo, 11:47 a.m., so about, what, an hour later? Glass is still looking good. 12:14, you can see some cracking coming in here. Right here, 1:18. Let's get rid of this thing. This thing's annoying. You could see more cracking. It's spreading. Yeah. 225.
That's wild.
Now it's really cracking.
Man.
452, and it's pretty much the whole.
There's so many
roof.
Twitter influencers that are like salivating over this right now, because it's like
that's gonna be the next question we're gonna be getting out when we're out and about, right?
This shows up somewhere on the internet this week because people are like, "Oh wait, this is something."
Yeah.
But that's crazy. So was there any cause?
He says there's no tint, so he didn't put a tint on it. He says he put the sunshade that comes with the Cybertruck. He does have that installed.
Yeah, you can see it where it's like it's completely blocked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Obviously, it's just sun shade there.
So that's pretty wild. My Cybertruck, especially right now, it's pretty hot over here in Southern California, and
same.
My Cybertruck sits outside when I'm at work, and it's in direct sunlight, and I haven't had any issues. So feel bad for this guy. It has to be obviously some type of defect, because I think if it was happening to a lot more people, then this would be big news. But poor guy.
A defect, or the fact that it happened over a course of a day is odd.
Yeah, that it just spread that quickly.
Yeah. But, defect, I could think maybe, or maybe someone was jumping on it or walking on it, and it caused a fracture that didn't spread.
Yeah, yeah.
And the heat caused that to spread.
Yep.
That's the only thing that can come to mind, honestly.
Well, I have a buddy that lately... He's on Instagram and YouTube and all that, and he keeps getting his cyber hammer and hitting the side of his truck, right, for videos. And he's not hitting it hard, but he's hitting it. And I just keep thinking to myself, like, did you not learn your lesson from what happened at the unveiling? You know, where, you know, the glass ended up cracking because, you know, you're hitting the side of the thing. Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't when he's doing this, but still, just like to me, like, why are you doing this? You know? And then he's constantly walking on top of his glass.
Yeah. That I wouldn't allow. Like, I've had people actually like walk on the tonneau cover because I know the weight rating. That's fine. But walking on the glass, that's where I'm like, no.
Yeah. I've walked on my tonneau once, but that was it. I just did that to show somebody, and then, you know, I didn't do it again. But yeah, the glass, I wouldn't. I'm a larger guy. I'm not huge, but I'm a larger guy, so I'm not walking on my.
I feel like glass. If I take a visual look and be like, okay, they're probably under 250, and be like, yeah, sure.
Like, yeah.
I think the weighting is like 300 or 350 or
300,
something like that.
Yeah, 300.
But still, I'm like, okay. I tried to use that judgment of like, all right. Because there was even, what was it? Keegan. Keegan's it's a big another like Tesla influencer that they really wanted to test drove the truck a few weeks ago. And he was like, can I jump on the tunnel? And he's like, yeah, sure. Go for it.
Yeah.
Because he was fine.
Yeah, that's... yeah, jumping, I don't know if I'd let anybody
not
do
like
jumping.
But like getting up on top of it. Yeah,
oh, okay, jumping up on top of it. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Now, there's an update that came out. Did you get your update? The newest one?
Yeah, it came in just today.
Yeah. So the new update, I got it yesterday, the 2024.20.7, which is supposed to have DC fast charging. So some changes to improve your vehicle's DC fast charging performance.
There's more details.
I was just going to say, not 100% sure. I get the title of DC fast charging. I understand what that means, but it's just a matter of, okay, what exactly am I getting from this? I mean, I wish they would kind of give us some information as far as, does it increase it 10%? Does it, you know, up this or up that? Like, what are we exactly getting here?
From what
I haven't seen anybody show this, so I'm not sure.
Supposedly it's like over 100 kilowatts, like at a base level, give or take, but at least kind of keeping that like 100 kilowatt hour kind of minimum.
Okay.
Or kilowatt level minimum.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm very curious to see this myself. Actually, like after seeing the update yesterday, I reached out to another renter that, like I think I've talked about before, that specifically was testing to charge the Cybertruck. I'm like, hey, by the way, this update's coming right now. You might be wanting to check it out and see what you can do. Because I know they were having issues with non-Tesla fast charging as well.
Yeah, loudness is in the chat, and they say the release notes are always too sparse with details. And we're always joking with Will, right, in our chat that, you know, he has a Rivian, and when he gets his Rivian updates, he does a screenshot and sends it over to us. And there's so much detail in there, and our joke is always what the minor fixes. Because that's, you know, it's always the details that we get from Tesla updates. It's just minor bug fixes.
Like, even just like bury it into like the user manual or somewhere online where you have to like go dig. But I just want to know. I just want to know what's there.
Yeah.
Like I've said it before in the podcast, but like I work in game design. I know how putting out patch notes can be very like political of what you're wanting people to see, but there's a lot of stuff that goes in that people don't see. So I would prefer to see that.
Yeah, and I don't understand why they don't. I get what you're saying. I just don't understand. Like, why wouldn't? Well, maybe you can elaborate on it a little bit more. But like, why wouldn't you want your customers to know like what you've changed or what you've improved, right? Or, you know, like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't willingly provide that information.
Well, for us personally, it's probably just the amount of effort that it takes to like actually nail down every single thing that goes in between versions.
Okay.
That can be like a difficult task, and that's
that makes
something
sense.
That personally, like with my company, we struggle with is like, okay, there's a lot that goes in. Let's try to like call out the most important like fixes that go in, and then make sure to like put those to the forefront so that it goes out with all the release notes. But
that makes sense.
The other side of it is like there is the obvious nefarious thing you could do is like just fix things and not tell people. Like that's the issue that I'm trying to like bring to light here. Like if you just say it's minor fixes, it could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't know what it is. It could be, you know, it could be so many different things. Like in I just tried to like bring it up on the podcast too, of like I noticed how the turn signal interaction changed.
Yes.
Like that's one little thing. I'm like I'm trying to like pay attention to like the minor things that I'm like, okay, this is odd between versions, but what is actually happening?
Speaking of that, are you still having that issue?
I do, but it's gotten better in the last version.
Okay.
I haven't noticed as obvious, but it's definitely gotten a little bit better.
I'm more aware of my turn signals ever since you brought it up. And I've actually noticed it maybe once or twice, but I mean, it's been a few weeks since you brought that up. So I don't think that is a cause for concern on my end.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't really experienced that. I have a quick question for you. And I noticed this today in my Cybertruck, and I'm not sure if it's just something I just never paid attention to and it was always there. But I noticed it, and I stopped, and I literally pointed at the screen, and I was like, wait a second. When you're in the phone app, right, did it always have the numbers to dial, just a random number? Is that always a thing?
Like, if you're trying to, like, call somebody?
If you want to just dial a number, so it's not a saved contact, you can physically just, like, start typing in a phone number.
I haven't noticed that, no.
I've never noticed that before, and I'm not saying I could just never paid attention, right? But today I went to call my wife, or actually, no, I went to call my son, and I went into the phone thing, and first thing that comes up are my favorites, right, from my phone, and right next to my favorites, there's the, like, number pad. And so I stopped, and I looked at it, and I go, was this always here? I don't remember. So I don't know. So if there's anybody in chat, you know, or in the comments, once this post, maybe I'm just just never paid attention. I don't know. But I noticed it today. Wanted to show something also that somebody pointed out, which I thought was actually really interesting and happy that this is happening. So this gentleman, not sure if you've seen this, Chase.
Yeah, he's been commenting because I was just talking about, like, should I or shouldn't I, like, get the Cyber 10 for, like, Turo renters? Because I think that's like, a great question. Like, I feel like it would be a good value proposition for Turo. Like, okay, if I could Turo a Cybertruck that has a Cyber 10, I might pay a little extra to go take it for the weekend.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Spoiler, the poll that I put on X was completely split. It's 50-50 yes and no, so... Who knows? But Ogre was great to like chime in on his input. But
yeah. So I guess what he said was when he had his 10, you know, because you have to have it installed at a service center, right?
Right.
That there was like a screws or bolts that you have to loosen up to take off the aero cap, which was kind of, we talked about it in the early days of when it was called Basecamp. Right. Mm-hmm. And we featured that on the podcast. And I was mentioning how I just felt like it was very cumbersome. It was too much work to take off the aero cap in order for you to get your tent set up. Well, Ogre's here saying that when he took his Cybertruck in to get this cyber tent now installed, that they did away with that bolt and they put in a clip system now. So
that's game changing.
Yeah. So if you look right here, let me rewind it some. He's literally with one hand reaching underneath and just unlatching it.
Yeah, because if that must be like a service station specific, because that was my other question is like, say I go buy the Cyber 10 right now, am I going to be able to install it myself? Default, or am I going to have to go to a service station to have them install it? And that probably
from what I
the question.
Yeah, from what I understand, they ship it to your service center.
Yeah,
so okay. You have to go in to get it. But he also notes that now with the ability to very easily and quickly take off the aero cap, you're gaining some extra space because of how the bed is set up. The floor of the bed is deeper than the top of the bed, right?
Right.
And he says having the ability to remove the aero cap so easily now, if there's ever a need because you have some large cargo that the aero cap is in the way, you can quickly remove the aero cap and now be able to fit something that's a little bit larger in the back of the truck. So, yeah, serves some really good uses, I guess you could say. So,
which
I love that.
It's probably a great segue, or at least an aside to mention. So for the longest time on this podcast, I've complained about how I have gotten so we delayed the install of the PowerShare. Mm-hmm. So since we delayed the install, we got a $700 credit in our email, which was great. But then we were like, wait a minute. The value of this is like more like $2,500. A couple of months later, then Tesla's like, okay, by the way, this is now worth $2,500. So now what Tesla's doing, instead of just like automatically signing you up for an install with the PowerShare equipment, they're basically giving you a $2,500 credit in the store to go then buy the PowerShare equipment and then get it installed for your Cybertruck. But then with that change, it was like left me out of the dust and also quite a few other Cybertruck owners on X. You can see them as well. The last couple of weeks that were out of all this money. So we're like, okay. So thankfully, X actually this last week had gave us an email and said, hey, here's another credit for $1,800 to make up the difference. So they did make good on their offer, and we now have $2,500 credit total in two separate credits that we can then use in the store. But the only other issue with that is that unless we want to use it for the PowerShare equipment, we have to use each credit for a total purchase. And there's very limited supply of like availability as far as like accessories goes. So
yeah,
it's still up in the air.
I didn't get those vouchers given the fact that I had the PowerShare installed and I have all of that equipment, even though it doesn't work yet, but I have that equipment installed. So I didn't get the credit, but yes, I've seen a lot of people having a small gripe with the fact that you have to use, I guess, whatever money you don't use out of that credit, you lose. It has to be kind of, you got to use it all at one time.
It's all one go.
But I do give Tesla some credit for making people like yourself who received that $700 initial credit and making you whole by sending you an additional $1,800. So I do applaud them for that, because I know there was people that were frustrated. I know you mentioned that once or twice. And, you know, yeah. Hey, am I going to get my extra $1,800? Well, now you got it.
I felt like screaming into a void of like, okay, I kept like putting it on X or whatnot. Like, I'm owed this amount. And then suddenly, oh, Tesla's like, oh, here's your $1,800 a month. Like, it was like to the T. So
yeah,
someone's watching, someone's listening. That's the benefit of what we're trying to say. So
yeah. So it's good. So now you just, now you just got to figure out what to use it on, because like you mentioned, a lot of the items on the Tesla shop are out of stock for Cybertruck. So you're kind of, and because you need to use all $1,800 at once, is there an expiration date on that, by the way?
It's about a year. So between now and
so you have time.
July. I mean, that's where like, and that's where I brought up the question about the Cybertent, because the Cybertent is probably the biggest item right now. So if I cut off $1,800 off the Cybertent, that's actually pretty decent for what we're paying for. We talked about like value versus price before on that. But yeah, it's up in the air. And then also it's probably worth mentioning for newer buyers now that if they bought a Cybertruck as we speak, that they're probably going to get this $2,500 credit coming to their email as well if they don't go with the PowerShare.
Yeah.
Which could be used towards the Cybertruck as well. So I don't know. In my mind, if it's like, it's that credit is not my money anyways. So it's like kind of like free money in a way.
Yeah.
So if you can justify the Cybertruck that way, maybe it works. But I don't know. We talked about the Cybertruck quite a bit. I still think that if it was $1,500, I would still buy it. But still, at three, no.
Well, Loudness is in chat again, and he's making a good point. He goes, it would be nice if they let you use it on out-of-stock items, which is true. Why wouldn't you be able to place your order just like you do for a Cybertruck, right?
Like a pre-order.
And now you're waiting for your Cybertruck. You're waiting for your vehicle.
I would like that.
To be delivered. Why not have the ability to go, hey, you know what? I want this item. It's out of stock, but let me place my order. Whether I'm paying for it now or you're holding funds, or in this case, you're using your voucher. And once it's in stock, ship it to me.
Yeah.
I think your buddies at T Sportsline did that to you, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
You're still waiting for your LED strip.
Well, we'll see. We'll see in the next few weeks, because they told me it was like early July. We'll see. I'm really excited. Like, nonetheless, I'm really excited to see that thing on the Cybertruck. But I'm sure they are too. This is probably mutual there. But yeah, I agree. And honestly, yeah, if you had to like pre-order, I think that would work, because it seems like they've like gated off all of the Cybertruck like accessories to only owners, so that actually kind of works in our favor, because there's only like what, you know, 12,000 to 13,000 owners at the moment, but still that's a lot of people to like jump on this stuff.
Yeah.
So the scarcity is still there, but Who knows?
Not sure if you have any interest in it. And I know it's, once again, it's one of those things where it's kind of overpriced for what it is, but you could always get the Cyber Quad. I think that's like $1,900. You're muted.
You joke about that, but actually, there was one just in the town next door that they had bought it for like $2,500 and they're selling it for two.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I debated. I'm like, is it, I don't think it's worth.
No.
I don't think it's like the worth the social credit to have a Cyber Quad along with it. But
yeah,
I know quite a few people are jumping on those. But that's actually a great point to bring up is the aero caps. So
yeah.
The aero caps in the store are set up for only $75 a piece for the aero caps.
Yeah.
But they've been sold out. They've not been available. They've not even given any of the aero caps to any of the owners, including ourselves.
Well,
except for Eric, who has, even with damaged aero caps, he's able to like still carry a pretty premium.
Yeah.
But like still, I've seen this last week, aero caps go for anywhere from $4,000 on eBay. Just recently, so it's a hot commodity.
It is. I'm telling you, it's a collector's item. It's
really
a collector's
is at
item.
This point.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
They're not saying anything about it.
No. Well, here's a weird thing. They're not saying anything about it. But if they're, why are they still in the shop? Even at out of stock, right. Why are they still on the shop?
Why would
it's a
they
little.
Keep it? Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's a little odd. Loudness also states, and here this is actually a good one for you, Chase. He says, "What about the Cybertruck for kids?" He has one of those.
Wait,
you do have a no the actual Cybertruck. It's like a Power Wheel.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
Oh yeah, I have. Yeah.
I don't know if that's in stock or not, but that would be cool. I'm just trying to spend your money, okay?
Yeah, fine. But yeah, my main thing is like, yeah, the Cybertruck. Hey, cool. Well, the funny thing about that is like it's $1,500, but the
is it really?
Yeah, the Cyber like Quad is $2,000 retail, so this would actually be cheaper. But
you have a lot to think about. So, I'm sure you'll make the right choice. But talking about not meeting deadlines, T Sports Line looking at you. Let's talk about our good buddy Elon. What's today's date, Chase? Today's July 3rd, right? So we're in July. I remember.
Don't have full self-driving yet.
I remember Mr. Musk stating back in April or May that Cybertruck owners will have full self-driving in June, and we're in July.
We're in Elon time.
Yeah, but it is we got a note that right here, our good buddy Sawyer's stating or breaking news. Tesla's full self-driving supervised version 12.4.2 is now starting to roll out to some normal Tesla owners, non-employees in North America.
Okay.
Not necessarily Cybertruck owners, but just the fact that they are pushing that out, I guess, to some Tesla owners. But it just, when I seen this, it reminded me, aren't we supposed to be getting our full self-driving in our Cybertrucks? And we're already in July. What happened there? You know, and of course, there's no announcement or anybody making any talking about that. So it just, you know, I mean, I know Jay has his trips coming up this month. I have a trip coming up this month. We want the car to do some work for us. You know, we don't want to do all the work. So
we'll confirm at least as of June 30th that the employees do have it, so
okay,
it's getting there.
Okay, now when you say employees, is there a particular employee that we're talking about?
Yeah, I can't.
Okay.
I can disclose. Yeah. But yeah,
no, I know. I just, you know, wink, wink.
The employees have it. hopefully like it's gets slowly rolled out, and I'm hoping that like in the next couple of weeks we'll see for sure. Because I'm very curious in myself to see like what this means, and then if it's game changing as far as like the value goes. Because I feel like that's the biggest unknown in the next month is that what's coming with Robotaxi and what's the implication of everything, you know?
Yeah, I'm starting to think that we're probably going to get our full self-driving probably closer to fall than summer. It just,
Yeah. Well, it could be. But
it's
it depends on how fast it like progresses obviously through the
the data, right?
yeah.
It's the data. And I understand that. So, here's another thing that I thought was really talking about, giving Tesla a round of applause for some of the good things, making a whole of the vouchers, but also they are now offering $1,000 off of the purchase price of Model 3s, Model Ys, Model S's, and X to
Should have
military
done this
members.
like years ago.
I'm sorry?
They should have done this years ago.
No, I agree. But they're doing it now, so
That's great.
that's great that they're doing it. You have to salute our troops and help them out, give them some incentives for everything that they do for us. So I thought that was really cool that they're doing that now. Oh, I should have probably just stayed there. Did you see that China is having a new color? They are getting the, what are they calling it exactly? Oh, right here.
Oh, the asset.
The Quicksilver.
Oh, interesting.
They're getting Quicksilver. I believe this is because Model 3 had silver, I think, in the beginning, and they haven't had it since. But I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I'm not a big
Yeah.
silver car person, but it and once again, these are
It's
just
just
pictures,
renderings. Yeah.
but it gives a cool grayish color to it. Not as much silver as it is gray to me.
Yeah, it's almost like if you took a like a silver painted car or even a white painted car, just put like a matte PPF over top of it. That's kind of what it looks like.
It actually, now that I'm thinking about it kind of gives me your truck look
Yeah.
a
It's
little bit, like a
like a
smoked.
transparent PPF over the top kind of look, which yeah, it's definitely in the mindset, because like I think I've mentioned before, but like if tomorrow I had to sell the Cybertruck, I would definitely be buying a Model 3 Performance and doing something
Same here.
similar to that, because it would either be like a black paint with a matte PPF over the top or something crazy.
No,
Yeah.
I'm digging it. It's pretty cool. Like I said,
That's
I'm not a
cool.
big silver guy, but that's, I like the way that looks.
Here's a question for you. Would you Have you thought about painting your calipers? I've thought about it, and I haven't pulled the trigger on it for various reasons, but I've definitely thought about it.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be doing it here sooner than later. I know I've talked to you about, I'm gonna be
For
doing
the
some.
bright butter yellow.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna do it yellow. I'm gonna do it yellow. I'm just what I'm debating on what I should do is most people put Tesla on it, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna do that.
Get a
So
butter
then,
EV.
well, but that seems a little, I don't know. Seems a little much. I don't know if I'm gonna do that. I don't know. That's what I'm debating. What do I put on there? Or do I just put Tesla or
Could always
don't put
add it
anything?
later.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it, is I'm trying to figure out, okay, I do want to do the yellow. I just don't know what, if anything, what I put on it. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. What color would you go with?
I thought about two. I'm torn between like a Tiffany blue and a red, but
The
I feel like
blue.
red would feel like the blue would like it would pop so much. Like any of the like popping colors, like Tiffany blue or like orange or like any of those like bright colors is gonna sell really well. But
yeah,
I don't know, because we're keeping our wrap dark. So I don't know.
I think that blue would look really nice with the smoke wrap.
I agree.
I think that would look really good.
I'm also like toying with the idea of like swapping out the wheels completely.
Yeah.
And depending on the rims, might actually choose the rim or choose the caliper too. So,
what are you thinking really, on wheels?
I really like the idea of going larger wheels, like a 36 or 37 inch wheel.
On tires, then, on the tires.
On tires, and then yeah smaller wheel. It's okay. Like an 18 inch with a 37 inch tire.
So you're going like off-roading.
Oh yeah. I think that would look pretty sick, especially since we have like the light coming in going full off-road.
Can it handle, will the wheel wells hold a 36 or 37 inch tire?
We know for a fact it can hold 37.
Really?
Because of Heavy D put his on 37s.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I want 37s now.
Go with a thicker tire.
Yeah, I'm debating on what to do with my wheels, because I'm going to get new tires. So when I get new tires, I don't know, because once again, I do a lot of comparison stuff. So I don't know, like for content purposes, I'm not sure if I should stick with the 20 inch rim, the wheels that are on the stock.
Right.
Because then when I'm doing range tests or off-roading tests or anything like that,
it's going to be the caveat.
It's literally just tire. That's the only difference of the vehicle. But I really, really want to downsize my wheel and go to like an 18 inch. So I'm debating on that as well. It's like, do I just do it? But then numbers in my videos are going to be skewed a little bit. I don't know. I'm trying to work that all out as well.
So, the talk around the default wheels with center caps. So, what I've got is like basically just like 3D printed caps that like fill the gap, and then also like just lug nut covers. But people have been talking about like covering over that entire section. And what's interesting is people have also been looking at the aero efficiency based off of the default Cybertruck wheels versus this cap to cover up the hub completely. And that's kind of interesting. Like, I think that might be worth a video in itself.
So they're saying that efficiency increases when you have just everything covered up.
Yes, this. So we're talking about, like, and this is more like for like Cybertrucks day one, this is what you can do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because this is July 4th now in Austin, because it's after midnight. But
yeah.
So when I purchased my truck in February of July in 2024, we didn't have the option to even have aero caps. So all of that open area was just open, and that's just what we're delivering. We're like, okay, mm-hmm. What did we do? And we were told, it's 310 miles, average for range, but it could be higher with aero caps by maybe like 10 miles. But even with this cap, it could be questionable if that could save just as much. I think that's kind of the up in the air.
Well, I did a video on that, right? I did a video on, I think I went 8 miles, so it's not a huge test, and, maybe driving longer distance will change some of the results, but in doing the little loop run that I did, the 8 mile loop run with the aero caps and then without, I didn't see a difference in efficiency.
That's right.
So I'm not sure if these caps are really going to do much.
True.
Because they advertise the aero caps as a way to increase efficiency, right? And get more range out of the vehicle. But I did my test and I didn't see any difference.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know. But, you know, I did have some people go in my comments and go, well, you only did 8 miles. You should have done more. I don't know if I needed to do more, you know. I mean, I think I would have saw something, but I didn't really see anything. So, but
that's actually a good point to transition to the DC charging update.
Uh-huh.
Because that did seem to at least provoke a change in charging speed.
You know, we talked about a little bit as far as I'm not sure what that did for sure. You know, do we know if there's any like what the changes are with that?
Well, yeah, but I do know some have been trying it recently as of like the last 48 hours. But so from what I've seen, like the bare minimum has been over 100 kilowatts. Just uh-huh. base minimum, which is higher because, like, I remember at a couple superchargers, like, only getting like 80 to 90 in certain cases. So it's been much faster by default. But yeah, definitely worth more testing to see in the wild.
Yeah, I need to get on that. I think like probably the biggest news in the last couple days is Tesla stock.
Oh yeah.
I think that's something that we got to touch on. I mean, it right here.
I mentioned I was going to say if you would have procrastinated until the day after the shareholder event.
Uh-huh.
Like if you would have like just watched the shareholder event and be like, okay, I like Destin now and invested, you'd be up 29% right now,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
pretty close to what you're looking at right now.
Yeah. It's
which is insane. Like that
yeah,
within
it is
like
insane.
Two, not even 3 weeks.
Well, let's talk about on the flip side of that. Let's talk about here, let me pull it up. Let's talk about somebody who lost some money here.
Oh, yeah.
So Nancy Pelosi sold 2,500 shares of Tesla last week. She sold it at $185 a share. She should have probably held on to it one more week.
Yeah.
she would have made a little bit more money. So yeah, that's something that would kill me. I mean, okay, so I'll tell a little story. I bought Bitcoin, okay, when it's probably during COVID or something where Bitcoin was low, and I bought it. And then it took like a big like dive, right? And so I was like losing money. I'm like, oh man, you know, this is horrible. Why did I do this? Why did I buy this Bitcoin, you know, this stupid fad, you know? And as soon as it came back up and I was able to make a little bit of money, I sold it. And now I look back and I regret it. I go, why did I do that? I didn't have a lot of it, but it was just a matter of I had some and it's like, man, so something like this with Nancy Pelosi, I would be kicking myself because I'd be like, man, why did, you know, just a week. Just needed to wait a week. So
I mean, Nancy Pelosi has been like the greatest stock trader of our time. the latest like 10 years. So, I mean, maybe like she's got foresight of something, but in this case, I feel like I have enough knowledge to say that she's wrong.
Yeah.
But most other things, I would say you probably should just follow her trades because it's.
Well, she's
insider.
Yeah,
insider gets.
She did sell her Tesla shares, and then 2 days later, purchased 10,000 shares of NVIDIA. So, she's jumping on that that train, which can't blame her.
I agree. Like, I think that the whole sector is kind of like revitalizing. I think, for a lot of reasons, I mean, there's so many, like between the election, the year, the inflation, and just the given trend of EVs and ICE vehicles, like there's so many things that could be a driving factor for investing. But
yeah,
it's cool to see. And my main thing is like I just want to see competition. Like I don't want to see just Tesla just take off. I think Rivian could be right along there with them.
Did you see, and I don't have his name off the top of my head, and I could probably look it up, but did you see Ford, what they came out and said about their EV strategy? They said something to the effect of that obviously they're going to continue making EVs, but that their competition essentially has like a stranglehold on the market. And so pretty much in so many words, if Ford doesn't see in the next like 5 years tremendous growth in their EV vehicles for sales, that it's almost like they're just gonna kind of, you know, kind of get out of it just because
I can see that,
you know,
like they're just gonna double down.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's no point,
because even if you pull up Ford's stock in not just the 5 year term, but the max term, like they're definitely in that kind of middle range. Like they really haven't kind of broken out in the last like 30 years. They've just kind of like stayed in that kind of norm. And I feel like investors have gotten used to like, okay, Ford's always kind of like a stable stock. Be like, okay, let me get my dividends and we're good. But yeah, I think that's Ford, GM, you know, Chevy, all these are going to have to fall in line to where the new direction is going to be and how that evolves with energy, whether it's EV or whatever it is. I think it's going to be really interesting to see, because I think what we're seeing now is like, even if you look at like, I always bring up the original Model T was what, just barely 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like 1912, 1913, somewhere in that area. And how we are here now. So where are we going to go in 100 years from now? Like, I think we're in kind of that transition era of like going from the horse to the Model T. Now we're seeing from the ICE vehicle into full EV and AI capability. I feel like that's kind of that transition era that we're seeing right now happening in real time, really.
You got to be careful though, Chase. You're calling ICE vehicles horses.
I mean, they are, right? They still work.
Yeah.
We still have horses today. I'm not saying like we like kill off all our. We're not going to take a shotgun to every ACE vehicle out there. No, but well, it's kind of a transition period, I feel like.
No, it definitely is, and yeah, I agree with that analogy. I wanted to pull this up though, just because we're talking about Ford. So right here, they show that they sold almost 24,000 EVs in Q2. But if you go and you compare that, if I could find it now, because
Ford specifically, because it feels like Ford and all the other manufacturers are losing money as much as they're producing EVs, except for Tesla.
Yeah. Well, right here, Q2, Tesla sold 443,000, almost 444,000. So there's a huge gap, right? And we've talked about this on the podcast many times, and I keep saying it. I do not want to see Tesla just smash everybody to where people just bow out because they go, we can't compete with the giant, right?
Right.
Because we need competition. Competition just in general, just in all industries, helps make that competition then causes price reductions, right? Yeah. Innovation. And so you need the competition. That's why I've always said, I want Rivian to succeed. I want them to do well. I don't want to see them go out of business. You know, I don't want to see any of that.
For the other ICE vehicles to, like, you know, figure out how to, you know, incorporate their technologies with what's ever going on at Rivian or Tesla into their own vehicles,
yeah,
and then try to save dollar amounts, still produce the vehicles, but, you know, under their own name. I feel like that's a way to go.
Yeah, and I think that's also where Tesla's going to really make a lot of money. We've talked about it as well, that how I think there's going to be this them selling their software, kind of what Rivian did with VW, right? They're going to start selling their software to VW to help them out. And, you know, Tesla's, I think, eventually going to be doing the same thing to help other EV manufacturers. And, I mean, they're already, you know, people are adopting the NACS and supercharger networks. And you know, so, you know, it just one of those things where, you know, I Ford, they're way behind in sales. I know that's not really their main focus because, you know, they're selling F-150s like crazy and just cars in general, ICE vehicles. But, you know, to kind of hear them openly say there's this juggernaut, we're not 100% sure if we can compete with that juggernaut. And so we'll see in the short term how this all plays out. But they're already kind of bowing out almost in a way, right? Just by having that open conversation of just like acknowledging we don't know if we can compete. So it's I don't like that. I don't want that to be the case. Well, let's get to I think we're almost at the end here. I wanted to – this is kind of a what-were-they-thinking situation, but there was – I know last week we showed the video of that gentleman speeding down that long driveway road. Well, this guy, another guy that flipped a Cybertruck. So apparently there was a driver and three passengers. Three of the people were able to walk out of the Cybertruck with no injuries. The other person did have to go to the hospital for what appears to be an arm injury, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can flip this car. You have to be doing something pretty crazy, pretty wild.
Which, yeah, it.
I think they mention here. I'm gonna go ahead and pause this right here. But
I would love to know where and how this happened.
Well, it says here in.
It looks like it's on a turn of a road, so that's probably like a given. So like there must be like turn involved, but like a turn at maybe like high speed.
Yeah, well, it says right here, Vicksburg Daily News. I don't know where Vicksburg is exactly. But apparently the Cybertruck was like an attraction in the community, given, you know, it's a Cybertruck and maybe there's not many there. But I guess people had claimed that they do know that this Cybertruck driver would drive kind of fast. Where does it say right here? It says other users also claimed that they had seen the same Cybertruck driving at high speed. So it seems like this driver's maybe a little reckless, but you know, so it's kind of the winner for what were they thinking? Because I don't know what they were thinking, what they did to flip a Cybertruck. That's right. pretty wild. So,
because of the lower center of gravity,
yeah,
and the unflippability that it has, it's very difficult to flip. So, it would have been very extraneous to to flip this. And we even talked about a few episodes ago when we talked about the Cyber Rodeo. We talked about the Cybertrucks that were very much trying to flip themselves in dirt that couldn't in those situations at high speeds. So the fact that this was able to flip itself in street conditions is very, very considering. Wild. And that's where I would want to know more information just because. I don't know, with the road, maybe they fell off the road and that's where they were able to get the leverage to go. But yeah, other than that, I can't see anything that would be something. I've already had an article on it too.
Yeah, they did. Loudness is in the chat. He has two comments. He says, going back to Ford, the conversation with Ford, he goes, the traditional car manufacturers are terrible at software and they focus on electric versions of ICE vehicles instead of doing ground up EV designs. We did talk about that, I think, last week when we were talking about, or maybe 2 weeks ago, about the Ford Lightning, on how that is more of a conversion EV as opposed to, a brand new vehicle. It's they're just kind of getting a Ford F-150 and just taking out the engine, putting in batteries and a motor, and hey, we got an EV. So you're 100% right there, Loudness. And then also, talking about this flipped Cybertruck, he goes, looks like he drove up the embankment, flipped it like a ramp, which is kind of what I'm assuming, because, once again, we're looking at this and going, how would you do this? But And Hugo's also stating it wasn't just from turning, which I agree. It's
I can't see that from just turning inertia alone.
I'd probably put money on the fact that he went up that embankment and flipped it, but it's crazy. So that's the what were they thinking winner for this week. Now let's get into one of my favorite segment is the wrap of the week. So. Right here, given the holiday tomorrow for me, today for you, happy 4th of July, everybody. And here is the most patriotic Cybertruck out there.
I think it's very well done.
Yeah. The timing is details impeccable. They've added in
what is it? The...
I like even just the electricity that's running through it. That's cool. Right here, even on the hood.
Add something to it.
We the People on the back. It's a nicely done and very fitting Cybertruck wrap for this week and the holiday. So that's all I got. Chase, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we sign off? That's pretty much it. That's it. All right. Well,
happens.
Yep. Well, hopefully, Will is okay. We haven't heard from Will. So hopefully he's okay. And, thank you guys. Thank you, Loudness. Thank you, Hugo. Thank you, Jay. Everybody in chat, we appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in each and every week. And we'll catch you guys next week. Enjoy the 4th of July. Be safe. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Likewise. Thanks again.